TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. Enjoy more of the things you love with TCL. Get in the know. Non-stop Vikings talk. It's Purple Daily on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
I would take him here, too. Like, I think you just take him, right?
Yeah, I think it's
right. It's a huge value pick. At this point in time, it makes perfect sense. The two potential rush ends that the head coach wanted are gone. I think that's probably it. It makes a ton of sense here. Rick, address the need.
I'm just going to throw this out. The top player on the board, according to Pro Football Focus, is Christian Barmore, interior defensive lineman, Alabama. He's 12th on PFF's board. 6'5", 300-plus pounds. He's a beast. 12 pressures in the college football playoff from the interior. Mike Zimmer loves interior pressure. They got a couple of defensive tackles right now that aren't great at pressuring up the middle, but great at run stopping. And so I just want, if the Vikings board looks at all like PFF's board, then Christian Barmore is number one right now. I just want to throw that out.
And Zim right now is saying that. He's saying, Rick, you got to take Barmore. Rick, you got to take Barmore.
Yep. And Darrisaw, by the way, is 15th on their board. So on the PFF board.
Okay.
So both of those guys are top 15 players according to Pro Football Focus. And Darrisaw was the second-ranked offensive tackle in all of college football according to PFF last year out of 458.
Just to be clear, I'm taking Darrisaw right now.
Yep. Yeah, I think that's the right move.
I'm not trading back. I'm not doing anything. I'm not being cute again. I got my extra picks from the Jets. I'm taking the tackle.
Yep. You've had think about all the different chances you've had to shore up your offensive line, to give Kirk Cousins some much-needed pass protection. You want to talk about PFF grades. The Vikings, in the last 15 years, only twice have had top 15 pass-blocking offensive lines. They've been below average basically every year, and a lot of those years they've been bottom five in pass protection, according to PFF. And so you had free agency. You spent all that money mostly on defense. You did make a trade for Judd's guy, Mason Cole, or if you like action movies involving Steven Seagal, Mason Storm.
Yep.
But they really haven't brought in any starting caliber solutions to plug in along the offensive line. In fact, they re-signed Dakota Dozier. So you went through the entire free agency period. You didn't fix offensive line. You went through the first part of the draft here, the 14th pick. You had a couple shots at some guys. You traded back. And so you're still sitting here with a chance to draft, on paper anyways, a big-time offensive lineman in Christian Darrisaw. And I think it would make people feel a lot more comfortable about what's happening up front if they pulled the trigger on this, boys.
Agree completely.
Yeah, I would imagine it's Darrisaw here. I'd be shocked. The best part is if it's not Darrisaw, they trade back and they still end up with Christian Darrisaw. That would be the most Mike Zimmer thing ever.
He's on the phone right now, and you know he's trying to trade this pick. I don't care what we say; he's trying to trade this pick.
Yeah, I think they're just at the point here where, like, how much can you, like, what's the value in trading back anymore? I like the first one. I'm fine with the first one.
But you get a fourth and a seventh.
You have seven picks, like literally. Between you have 66, 78, 86, 90th, you've got the 119. Like, you've got so many picks in the third and fourth round. What more do you need? You've got more picks right now than any team in the NFL. I would not be a fan of trading back in this spot. Take Christian Darrisaw, run to the bank, and put another blue chip talent along your offensive line.
You know how we all have a talent in life, Phil? Rick discovered his talent a long time ago. Was trading back and getting more draft picks. Okay, tonight's his night.
Was going.
These three days are Rick's days, man. Accumulate more picks. You had 15 last year. You were at 10 going into tonight, but now it's what, up by one or two more?
It's 11.
So is it 12
right now? Right. I think they have 11.
11 right now.
Okay. They got one more.
They got one extra pick.
Because they did a swap. They did two swaps and then got an additional pick.
As Doogie says,
third round.
Christian Darrisaw, long arms. Long arms, ladies and gentlemen. Short arms, long arms.
Got to keep those defenders as far away from Kirk Cousins as
commenters
as
are saying,
humanly
pick
possible.
I'm not waiting to confirm this.
We'll give you the Rick Spielman laugh just to see. I literally have a feed pulled up right now of all of the prominent Vikings and NFL reporters, like even some of the like the ones that we recklessly speculated on that sometimes break news. Like anyone who would possibly break news, I feel like is so. As soon as it's in, we will let you know. The 23rd pick here for the Vikings.
Wow,
I love this, man. This has been such a fun day. God, you know what? I want this Packers news to come to fruition too.
Still,
get Aaron Rodgers out of the NFC. Yep.
Yeah, still give me Bateman.
Oh, so you're in your Bateman.
Still
now.
Give me Bateman. Give me Bateman.
They're not
give
doing
me
Bateman. They're not doing Bateman.
Give me Sorry. Bateman.
No, I know what you're saying, but they're not doing it.
Yeah,
they're,
so the pick is in officially, according to NFL.com. They did not trade back. They did not trade back. They will be making a pick here at 23, 3.5 hours into our live stream. Okay. If it's Darisaw, I mean, from any angle, like he's the 15th best player on the board. It's a great pick.
It
to
is.
Move
it's
back, a, still get night. Him?
Yep, you're right.
I say you take Bateman, you move some of those third-round picks, and you come back in the first round, and you still
get
someone.
Here it is. Chad Graff, according to a source with the 23rd pick, the Vikings have selected offensive tackle Christian Darisaw, Virginia Tech. They traded back 9 picks to get and picked up draft capital and fleeced the Jets.
Yep.
For a guy that they were mocked at 14 with in Christian mm-hmm. Darisaw. Mm-hmm. So they go meat and potatoes, they go offensive line, and Darisaw is the guy at pick 23 for the Vikings. So now that it's official, Purple Daily live draft special here, Mackie, Judd, Declan, presented by TCL. Enjoy more of what you love with TCL. All right, Judd, here we are. We've waited months and months for this, and Christian okay. Darisaw's the guy. Your thoughts?
Long arms. I love long arms. No short arms. Darisaw, long arms. If this guy projects now, especially as a plug-and-play day one left tackle, but more importantly, as a potential 8 to 10 year guy, okay? If you basically, it sounds like, got the Jets to be the Jets, and that's awesome. That's great. My guess is that the Vikings moved back to 23 with the hope that they could get a pass rushing end. They didn't, but I actually think this works out perfectly. This now goes a long way towards continuing with known quantities more and more now to give you a solid offensive line to protect a quarterback who, by God, needs the protection. I think this is a very good start. And if they backed into this pick in some ways, because the hope was that, Quiddy Pay would be there, or the kid from Miami, and they weren't there. That's absolutely fine.
Yeah.
I think this is as good a start as you could have possibly had, aside from the outside possibility that Fields got to you and you take him, which of course would have been great fun just because it's a quarterback.
Yep.
But I really like this.
Yep.
I really like this.
I personally came in tonight just putting my own Rick Spielman hat on. I said, all right, my priorities start with being mindful of one of these quarterbacks falling, Trey Lance being the one that I was most intrigued by. And then when Fields fell, I was kind of like, all right, let's see what the price is. And it wound up being a pretty big boatload, an extra first-round pick to move up that far, or at least the Bears moving up higher than the Vikings would have. But you know, short of some sort of quarterback pipe dream situation, the other priority was offensive line. You have to fix it. You spent almost all of your free agent resources on fixing the defense and bringing in Patrick Peterson and bringing in Dalvin Tomlinson, et cetera. So the draft, unless it played out in a way where all of the tackles were off the board, but the way the Vikings played this, to move back and still have Darisaw on the board, it fixes, on paper anyways, your biggest current need. It gives your pocket-passing statue quarterback, who's great when he has time, an extra brick to stand behind. It's hard not to look at this and say a wild success for the Vikings. And now the question becomes, boys, could they trade back into the first round? Because they've got enough. They don't have a second round pick, but they've got the second pick in the third round, and they've got 7 picks between rounds 3 and 4. Could they potentially trade back into the first round sometime tonight and grab, I don't know, maybe it's Declan's guy, Rashad Bateman. Maybe it's an edge rusher. Some kind.
That would probably be it, right?
Is that next on your priority list? Or are you going guard? Guard is still up there for me.
I think it's next on theirs. Yeah, if they were to get back in the first round at the very end of it tonight, my guess is that they would go edge rusher. I guess I'm more intrigued by would you get back into the second round with some of the draft capital that you have now for tomorrow to take that, as we talked about before, you guys, second-tier backup quarterback? That's my question, because that's a very intriguing one, too. I am convinced that he will that Rick will get into the second round at some point. He's got the capital to do it now. And I don't see the Vikings taking a powder on that entire round.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I'm with you on that. There's a lot of they're just in a really great position of strength right now. If you guys want, I have found the NFL.com Christian Darrisaw scouting report for you.
All right.
It is full of football deliciousness. And by the way, if you see on the bottom of the screen here, if you want to be part of the show, this transitions to Vikings Vent Line very quickly here. VikingsVentLine@gmail.com if you want to be on the show with us. And Declan will be sort of the gatekeeper as we might not be able to get to everybody, but we can definitely bring people in and get your thoughts. So, all right, here's Christian Darrisaw's NFL.com scouting report. We'll start with the strengths, okay? So he has split low with optimal center of gravity.
Football. Yes. Yes.
He has silky smooth feet in pass slides and is a natural bender who's able to keep his pad level right.
Football. Oh, pad level. God, well, I love that.
Yeah, pad level's sort of surface, though. Like, split low excites me.
Strong hands help him lock in after punch has landed. Ability to quick set wide rushers and short circuit their angles.
Football. Oh, sweet Jesus.
Well, that's good.
I'm a little aroused, I'll be honest.
That's good.
And here's another one. Tunnel maker with ability to reach, turn, and secure cutback lanes.
Football.
Did you say tunnel maker?
He's a tunnel maker for Dalvin Cook. That's right. You just draft. He's like a semi truck on 394.
No, I love it. Yeah, I'm
a big fan of it.
I'm loving the lingo.
Okay, weaknesses. His play can be much too nonchalant at times, and he inexplicably lets opponents off the hook early rather than finishing them.
Finish him.
Now, low hands lead to occasional late punches. And sometimes he opens his outside hip a little early in his pass slides.
Football. Hey, speaking as a guy from experience, you got to watch how you open those hips. It's very important. The timing of the hips opening. It's very important.
This is a family-friendly show.
I'm warning the youth. You got to be watching what you're doing with your hips.
I know. The youth doesn't need to hear your warnings. Not yet, at least.
Real quick update here. So Vikings make their pick, and then the Steelers come right in at 24. And they select, let's see here, Najee Harris, the running back from Alabama.
Oh, wow.
So that puts the Jags on the clock for the 25th pick. So, all right, Dex, should we fire this up here?
Yeah, let's do
this. Transition to some Vikings vent line here. All right, you lead the way.
All right, we got a couple guys in here. We're going to start with a couple loyal listeners. Let's start with our guy, Kip. Kip, my man, you're the first one. Kick us off here on Vikings vent line. Christian Darrisaw is the first pick. What do you think?
I wanted Justin Fields, but... You know, I don't think Rick wanted to make that pick. By the way, my aunt is a Bears fan, and she said they gave up too much. So she falls into the Rami boat of she wasn't happy. So hold on 1 minute. I'm trying to get – there's the puppy.
Well, there's the puppy. Who's a good boy?
Who's a good boy?
Who's a good boy? Look at that boy. That's a doggy.
Yeah.
By the way, I love how Judd's room has gotten continually dimmer as the night has gone on here, too. It's like, there's a spotlight on Judd.
I got a light on myself here. Hold on.
So I told my wife it was Christmas Day for me, and I might be staying on the couch with the pooch tonight because NFL draft is on, and I was blasting you guys, and she said, you got to pick ESPN or Score North, so I had to put you guys on the headphones. So I'm never surprised that Rick always trades back. I was surprised Darrisaw fell that far. Going with a bunch of people, I really wanted them to go get Fields. And I was surprised when the Broncos didn't pick it because I was like, that's George Payton right there. You know, he's a Rick follower going defense. But They hogtied Zim and they threw him in the closet and they said, we're taking offensive line because you got all the stuff for the free agency. So I just, you know, I'm glad they got offensive line. I'm glad they fleeced the Jets and the Jets are going to jet. And I was in Declan's boat of if they took Vera Tucker, it would have been like, meh, okay, that was just a safe pick. But I'm glad that Darisol fell all the way back to them. And I was on if when Fields fell down to 11, I said, come on, Rick, make the call. And I'm wondering if the Wilfs told him no. And you, Judd, you said Doogie said that Fields was they were going to try to go for Fields and
yes,
they didn't like it. Oh wow. And I'm a Doogie supporter, so if Doogie says, then I'm trying to tell my friends who are Redskin fans that or the football team fans, everyone's like, you're going offensive line. I'm like, if Fields is falling, they're gonna pull the trigger. And so I just I'm glad they finally got their left tackle. I think they're gonna go offensive line or they're gonna go pass rusher in the third round. Or they're going to package up into the second. I could see them going to get a quarterback in the second or third round. That's just I'm Kellen Mond. There you go. There you go, Mac. Love I'm on the Kellen Mond boat. So
love it, man.
I'm glad to be back on, and hopefully I'll be trying to get some more appearances here, and I'll try to get another write that down with you guys, and maybe get another Hall of Fame pick. So
awesome, man. Well, Kip, that's Kip. And he's a loyal listener and follower. We appreciate you, Kip. We're going to roll on and get to some other fans, but great stuff from him. Yeah, the Vikings with Christian Darisaw. I'd be curious if there's a dissenting opinion here. I'm sure we'll get to some at some point, but it feels like the overall reaction has been optimism here. But, Dex, who else we got in line on what is now Vikings vet line here on this Purple Daily Vikings draft special?
All right, let's bring in one of our loyal guys. Our guy... Pulfrid, let's see here. I'm going to put him back in the mute just for a second here. Let's get, I think he's back here. Pulfrid, you got us, brother?
I got you. You there?
Yes,
there we
sir,
go.
You got us.
Pulfrid Skoll in the house, man. You got your Vikings gear on. All right, what's your, give us a grade, man. Give us your letter grade.
Hey, look, for all the haters, hey, I give it an A-. When Sewell started to fall, a little bit, I got excited. And then I was like, well, that's probably not realistic. And just, man, the overwhelming comments from people about, oh, fire Rick, fire Zimmer, fire them all, just sell the Vikings to Texas, whatever. I mean, for crying out loud, there's a lot of talent tomorrow. And Dex even put it up there. We got a couple of guards coming up tomorrow that are big names. We got Dylan Radins from NDSU. That's a loyal shout out there. NDSU playing in the playoffs Sunday. We got a lot of talent tomorrow. We got 4 third-round picks. That's opportunity with the other picks to move up to the second round, early third-round pick. We have a lot of talent on the board to grab other people. And now we have our starting left tackle day one. That leaves, in my opinion, one left guard available to fill in. And heck, that could be filled in tomorrow, where Dakota Dozier and Samia can be fired, and hopefully Sean Mannion can be fired when the Vikings draft Mond.
Sean's gone. He's gone. He will not be back.
I love it. So A- for Pulfrid Skoll. What are you sipping on there tonight, my friend?
I drank the rest of my Coronas earlier. I was taking an Epsom salt bath. And so I switched over to the old Captain Morgan.
Can you explain to Judd what that type of bath is here? I think we need a Judd, maybe a some sort of Judd athlete challenge.
In essence, I don't want to do that.
Judd, you would love this. Trust me. You know, when you get older and you wake up and everything hurts, which, you know, I'm
sure
you're probably used to every day.
Yeah, I'm used to that.
Amazing. You dump this salt. It's salt that has these therapeutic components to it and wonderful smell in your bathtub with you, and it is just wonderful. It's like the Vikings having a good offensive line. It's this wonderful feeling.
Pulfrid, I don't do baths. I just don't.
Does Judd look like a guy? Dex, your mic's off, by the way. Does Judd look like a guy who takes baths, or does he look like a guy that uses the same bar of soap for every crevice of his face and
body?
I
don't use bars of soap. I use that Old Spice stuff that you dump on the loofah, baby, and then I rub it on my face.
That's great.
Judd's the loofah.
And I love the loofah.
Yep. All right. Well, Pulford, thanks for jumping on, man. He's cutting out a little bit. All right, we got to let Pulford go.
See you, Pulford. Bye.
It's great stuff. All right, let's keep rolling here. Vikings with Christian Darrisaw. By the way, real quick. So Darrisaw right tackle. Does O'Neal's going to play left. But for this Vikings team, is Darrisaw sliding in at left tackle?
I think they're going to try that, yes.
Okay.
That's my guess.
Okay. Yeah. Be interesting to see, because I know there's been chatter about O'Neal.
Yeah, no, I think the plan would be Darrisaw left tackle. And now the one question, of course, is, who's your left guard?
For sure. All right. For sure. Let's get our guy, Joe. Joe, you're on here. What's up, buddy? You're on Vikings.
What's
Bet
up,
line.
Boys? Got my Brett Favre poster. Got to show off.
Love it, Joe. Love it, Joe. Troll those Packer fans. Yeah, and it's actually good that the Vikings didn't land Mac Jones or Justin Fields as they fell, because now it clears the way even more for Aaron Rodgers to play in purple in 2022.
100%. I texted every Packers fan I know.
You and some didn't know. Love it.
I've been saying it for a year. I told him, but
so Joe, what do you think, man? The Vikings trade back 9 spots. They get a guy that's been mocked often to them at 14, at 23, in Christian Darrisaw.
I mean, like everyone else, feeling pretty good about it. Feeling much better than I did before the pick.
Yes,
yeah, I mean, it's hard to look at that offensive line before Christian Darrisaw and be optimistic about it at all. Just like the more blue chip talent you can put in just means that Dakota Dozier is further distanced from starting along the offensive line for the Vikings, which is good.
Yeah. In my Vikings friend group, they like to call me the negative one, but I just say, you know, we don't have a left tackle right now. Don't we? No, yeah. I feel much better about it.
You're realistic. Especially because not negative.
You saw him mocked to like the Chargers sometimes, and no, great value.
Yep. What do you want to see now? What do you want to see them do either in the third, fourth, or maybe they have enough ammo to trade back up at some point?
I was just thinking, you know, if we can snag a pass rusher, we got a hell of a roster next year. I'm starting to get a little hopeful. Probably get a safety in a later round. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, dude, thanks for coming on. Thanks for showing off your Brett Favre poster, Joe. We appreciate it. And Skol Vikes, man. We'll talk to you.
Yeah, I've never been on. I watch all the time, but yeah. Never participated.
We appreciate you. Thanks for jumping on.
Thanks,
dude.
Keep
spreading the love, spreading the word about Purple Daily.
Hey, real quick before we get to our next guy here, Rick Spielman speaking right now, the media, and he did confirm kind of what Doogie was saying. Spielman said the Vikings tried to trade up and down from number 14 and were considering going back up to get Darrisaw from number 23. That's from Courtney Cronin from Rick Spielman's
press conference. So that's what he said. Now, I'm calling BS. I think that they tried to go back up because they were trying to get one of the two pass rushing ends. That's what I think. They went too far. But here's my thing. Personally, I love this. I like this. I think it worked out. If you were going to drop, this is perfect. Because this by the time that they got to the 23rd pick and actually made the pick, Darrisaw was the guy, right? Yeah. So like there was no like, oh, Quiddy Pay's still there. And Mike's like, take Quiddy Pay. And Rick's like, yeah, but what about Darrisaw? So I think this actually worked out perfectly for Vikings fans, because you're going to go to bed tonight feeling a lot better that the left side of the line is protected more than if you said, we got Quiddy Pay. That would have been fine, but I don't think that makes you feel great.
Spielman's quote here was, if we were considering a guy strongly at 14 and still able to get him at 23, that's a great night for us. And there's a lot of things Rick Spielman does and says that I disagree with, but I 100% agree with that logic right there. All right, Dex, who's next on what has turned into Vikings event line?
Let's go with our guy. Is it L? Is it Eli? Yes. What do we got here? L.
How's it going, guys?
Good, brother. How are you?
Hey, good. If you guys remember earlier in the year, I was telling people we should embrace the tank. And this is what happens when you don't tank the right way. You literally get to pick in the midway through the draft, in the first round, instead of picking in the top 10, what we could have done. And not only that, but it's 10 times worse when you get in striking distance of getting the guy I've been saying from the get-go, Justin Fields, and you don't get him. And the thing that's going to make it worse, if he turns out like a lot of people think he can, he's going to haunt us for the next 10 to 15 years in the same division. Yeah. That's the worst part about this. He's going to a rival in the NFC East. I mean, excuse me, NFC North against the Bears. Like, we have to face this guy twice a year. Like, I think the Vikings completely just should have embraced the tank, like we said from the get-go, and this is what happened.
Yeah, when they started 1-5, I know a lot of people were kind of mad at us on this show for saying, hey, listen, we're not being negative. This is a step back for the future of the franchise. And then they play their asses off, and Kirk Cousins gets hot, and they wind up in no man's land. And there's sort of two ways to look at this. There's the way that you're looking at it, L, which is, boy, if they had just taken their medicine in 2020 when it was there for them, they could have had a better shot at Fields or Lance or whoever, maybe even Zach Wilson. And I do agree. I think the guy that I personally was higher on, Trey Lance, and his upside, I think Fields could be a star too. I think the Bears are going to screw him up because they always do. In terms of where they wound up picking and what they did, I'm happy with it. I think being in the middle of the draft, getting the guy that you were going to draft at 14 at 23 and pick up extra picks is good. But you're right. If Justin Fields turns out to be a star, it's going to be a huge problem for the Vikings times two because he's in your division. So I'm with you on that, man.
Yeah, I mean, overall, I like what they did. I wanted them to trade when Justin Fields went. I was like, you know what, at this point, they trade back. We ended up getting one of the offensive linemen, which I'm happy about. But at the end of the day, you need a quarterback to win a Super Bowl. And this is what the show is about, right? We want the young quarterback, the next Patrick Mahomes, the next quarterback that can win us a Super Bowl. Yep. And unfortunately, I think we were. It just makes it 10 times worse because I didn't think Justin Fields would make it out of the top 10, and we had a chance right there. And I think, that's what happens when you don't embrace the tank.
For sure.
You're exactly right.
Thanks for coming on, L. We'll catch you down the road sometime.
Stuff
right. Judd, go ahead.
He's right in this sense too. And this is the thing that we've talked about before, and the Vikings don't like to do this. Some years you have the ability to say it's not our year, right? And if they had judged, so here's why I'd be curious to know the backstory, because I think this is sort of the linchpin to where things in 2020 were going. They seemingly fought the Hunter thing to be like, they believed at one point it was a tweak. Like, they thought he was going to come back. And so they made the Ngakoue trade to replace Griffin, right? And like, it was all hinged on, no, we're going to be good. We're going to be competitive because we're the Vikings and we ordinarily are competitive. Somebody either misjudged, I don't know what, but if they had said, Danielle Hunter's hurt, and there's a chance here this ain't a tweak, okay? Like, he might miss a season. It's a neck problem. And then you don't make the Ngakoue trade because you sort of swallow hard and say, this is going to be rough, but Danielle's going to be out. And now all of a sudden you keep that second round pick, right? Well, and more importantly, you're not good, but you sort of accept the fact that you're just not good and you allow the season to take its natural progression. You don't fight it. That's where there's a conversation to be had about approach, right? Because that's not like a Timberwolves thing of, oh, you always stink. Your team, your franchise stinks. That's you're nearly a really good franchise and it's a down year. Down years happen. So that's where it comes back to being a very interesting discussion about philosophies and like last year, sort of just accepting, hey, it's not going to be good, but the payoff for not being good is a night like tonight where, let's say, instead of drafting 14th and then ultimately 23rd, you're drafting top 10. So
listen, here's where I'm at with this. You know, I will always have questions until he proves otherwise on a regular basis about Kirk Cousins in big moments when conditions aren't perfect. All right. I'm going to have those questions. And so the best thing they can do is try their best to make conditions around him as perfect as possible. Mm-hmm. The defense is going to take a big step forward if guys are healthy. If you can square away the Danielle Hunter, easy for me to say, contract situation.
Sure.
The offensive line got better tonight with Christian Darrisaw. It got better tonight. It'll get better if they just determine that Dakota Dozier isn't the starting left guard. I still think they need to figure out who their starting left guard is too. Sure. I think it would make you feel a lot better if there was a more defined option there. But this team is going to be better than it was last year. And I have now, as much as I still fantasize about a young, mobile, cheap quarterback that you can build a roster around. They are going to make a run at this thing in 2021, and I feel like we all owe it to them, a good coach in Mike Zimmer, a good GM in Rick Spielman. If they feel like they can put together a Super Bowl contender and they're putting those pieces together, then listen, all right, I'll fall in line and see what happens. And then we'll see where the chips fall in week 5, 10, 15, et cetera. But what they've done here, they fixed the defense to their liking in free agency, and they drafted one of the best offensive linemen in the first round with their first pick. They're off to a good start in the draft. It's hard not to like what they've done to improve this team over the last couple of months. We'll see if it's good enough to compete at the highest level, which is what the bar should be in 2021.
And tonight's a good night. Mm-hmm. They did a good job. Mm-hmm. We'll see. Declan?
All right. Let's go to Don in Ohio. Don, what's up, brother? You're on Vikings Bet Line.
There he is.
Don, what's up,
Judd
man?
Solgad's hoodie in the house?
What's you know, I'm not going to tolerate this loofah hate.
Thank you.
It's unacceptable.
I love my loofah.
That's right. There's nothing wrong with a loofah. I use a loofah too. You know?
Oh, a loofah is it's freeing. It's liberating.
Thank you. Boy. Thank you. Exceptional.
You guys are creepy AF. Creepy. Yeah.
No, I'm as clean as a man can possibly be right now.
Hey, get to our age, you'll find out. Yeah, get to our age, and you'll find out how it's going to be.
Thank you, Don.
So, hurts me more being an Ohio State fan from the state of Ohio that we had a chance to get Fields and we didn't. And knowing, and everybody says, oh, we had to trade to Denver, you had to give up first. Well, the Cowboys were there too, and they gave up, you know, they only moved two spots for a third. And you can't tell me a second from next year, even a third and a fifth from this year or fourth or whatever, couldn't have gotten us to the 10th spot. You know, and now, okay, great. We have like 100,000 third and fourth round picks, right? Well, let's go through all these third and fourth round picks the Vikings have done under Spielman and Zimmer since then. 2014, Scott Crichton, Jerick McKinnon, the third round. 2015, third round, Danielle Hunter, the only thing that's ever turned out for him. Fourth round, TJ freaking Clemmings. Everybody remember him?
Remember, we had to watch him, yeah.
Yeah, Willie freaking Beavers in 2006. 17, Pat freaking Elflein, Jaleel Johnson, Bed Gideon, that's who we took. 18, Jalen Holmes. 19, Drew freaking Samia.
So I hear you. Hold on. I hear you, but here's my comeback on the Justin Fields thing. Everybody had a chance, all these quarterback desperate teams, to trade up to like 7 or 8 or 9. Maybe the Broncos wind up trading for Rodgers, but as of right now, they don't have a starting quarterback. They passed on Justin Fields. The Patriots could have traded up for Justin Fields and all of these teams, and it was the most quarterback incompetent franchise, well, next to the Browns probably, that we know the last 50 years, the Bears, that were the team that stumbled in and grabbed him. So I would be a little worried that there's some red flags there that teams identified that had him falling to that point.
As a guy who's followed Justin Fields for the last 2 years and watched every single one of his games, I don't get it. I don't see it. He's done a phenomenal job last 2 years for Ohio State. He outplayed Lawrence in both games they played. The first one, if J.K. Dobbins doesn't drop the easy screen touchdown pass, if Olave runs the right routes and the referee doesn't give up the TD, we're talking Fields wins both games. And then last year, he plays with an injury, still throws six touchdown passes against Lawrence. So, I know he had the bad game against Northwestern, but, you know, he still fought back after that. Yeah, he struggled against Northwestern. I forget, maybe Wisconsin, but still he fought through that. He always found a way. He was always sure to be a leader. You know, big question, he doesn't have an arm. He showed his arm. Like, this kid, he's been a true leader. And you don't – here's the other thing, too. And we talk – and Phil, you talked about this, too. The fact is that, you know – you take Fields, you got four years of a window for the Vikings for the Super Bowl. You're not having $44 million or $45 million or $40 million on one single spot. You can use it for other areas. And you're worried about, oh, we don't have an offensive lineman. We don't get that. Yeah, that's great. We'll still have $12 million in cap space after June 1st. Yep. So I don't hear, you know, so there's possibilities. But
why do you think he fell, Don?
Why did Jackson fall last year? Because people made stuff up. I'm sorry. Or 2 years ago, whatever. I don't know. I think it was because of the Northwestern, the Wisconsin games where he struggled a little bit. Yeah. I really believe that. But I mean, outside of that, He dominated in the Michigan games. He dominated in the Clemson games. I just he played well against Alabama despite losing their top running back. He was basically one note. They basically had to just pass on every down. So I just don't get it. I really don't.
Yep, and maybe it'll wind up. And Don, great stuff. Thanks for being loyal to us for many years, Mackie and Judd and Purple Daily. Let's react to Don in just a second here, boys. But Mike Zimmer just clarified, in case there was any doubt, Brian O'Neill, they're looking to keep him at right tackle and put Christian Darrisaw at left tackle.
Yeah.
He said, quote, "I hate to say instant starter. This guy's got to come in and prove himself like everybody else does, but hopefully that's what he is. It was important for us to get some more size for our offensive line." So as of right now, pencil in Darrisaw as the left tackle, question mark as the left guard, Bradbury as the center, Ezra Cleveland as the right guard, and Brian O'Neill as the right tackle.
We've got Rashad Bateman,
yep,
taken 27th overall by the Ravens. That's a great landing spot.
Yep. It is a great landing spot. Yep, and it'll be less conflicting to root for him in the pros when he plays for the Ravens instead of the Packers.
I was looking forward to him being a Packer. I thought that would be a great fun.
Packers are on the clock in a couple of picks here, so we'll see what happens. Just to react, so it's the second fan who's come in here on Vikings Vent Line and who has lamented not going up and getting Justin Fields. Listen, I'm all aboard the get a star young quarterback on a rookie scale contract and build a team. That's the best equation for winning a Super Bowl, and it's a better equation than paying a good, not great quarterback the third most money to the cap. So I'm with you on that. But at the same time, there's been so many questions about Fields. Like why, for instance, did Kyle Shanahan, one of the smartest offensive minds and quarterback gurus in the NFL, why was he not considering Justin Fields number three? Why was it Mac Jones and Trey Lance? To me, Trey Lance is the one that got away. If there was one, and you weren't going to move up to three.
And you didn't even see him.
Yeah.
So one showcase game.
I'm not lamenting the Fields thing as much as I would if it were Trey Lance. I'm just not. I think they had a really good first round tonight, considering the way things played out.
I get the desire to go up and get him, and I do think that they examine that. But here's the thing. So the problem with this entire team and the fan base is, we rebel against what they want to do, but they're consistent. They are incredibly consistent. For the most part, on a yearly basis, as much as they could talk about best player on the board, we went out and got this guy or that guy, what do? They go out and try and find an immediate impact player at a position where they have an immediate need. Do I think they don't trust themselves completely on quarterbacks? Yes, I do. I think that they have questions. Whether that's right or wrong on their part. So like this again is, and if Darrisaw is good, it's fantastic. This again fills an immediate day one starting need at one of the most important positions on the field. Why? Because there's pressure here for the people that own this team on down to be as competitive as possible and win again in 2021 and not be building something. They want to be good. I mean, there are two things about this team and franchise, Phil and Declan, that do not change. One is Rick Spielman is going to go into almost every draft trying to accumulate as many picks as possible. And we can say that's stupid, but he's going to do it. The second thing is there seems to be a mandate from the people that own this team that we want to compete as much as we can every year. And if that means we have a bad start, they want to bounce back. If that means take a run, take a run. But there's not like a philosophy here of, okay, let's try it and let's sell out to draft Fields and let's build for 3 years. That's not how they work. And it's frustrating at times. I agree, but it's their philosophy.
And do we think we'd be as frustrated, Vikings fans, I maybe should say, would Vikings fans be as frustrated if it wasn't a team in the NFC North going up to get them? So let's say it was, I don't know, some team in the AFC off the top of my head right now. What if it was someone in the AFC that went up and got Justin Fields? Would we be that upset that they didn't get the stabbed and make the capital up to get Justin Fields?
Honestly, the Fields thing doesn't bother me. Like the Bears are an incompetent mess of a front office, and they're the team that went up and got Fields, not the Patriots, not some other smart franchise. And really, like, this was, to me, this was a really good night for the Vikings. Once Trey Lance came off the board at three, for me, it was like, all right, you know, I'm interested in Fields, but I'm not going to give up. There's enough validation here that there's some red flags that I'm, unless he falls into your laps, I'm just sort of resigned to, all right, clearly there were some things behind the scenes that came out during the pre-draft process, and maybe people will be proven wrong. But I'm fine with what they did tonight. I think they had a really good night, and I wouldn't lose any sleep over the Bears drafting Justin Fields.
I think Dex is right.
Yet. We'll see.
But I think Dex is right. Yes. I think that if Justin Fields had been taken by an AFC team, I think there might be some frustration. But look, I mean, we as sports fans in this town fear what? Things coming back to bite us square in the ass, right? And Justin Fields might have that chance. I don't know. But the Vikings had to get a left tackle. They got one.
Yes.
I'm not going to complain too much about it.
Yep. All right. Let's get to our next guest here, right. Declan.
Ooh, another loyal guy here. Bob in Pennsylvania. He's not from the hot tub, I believe. But Bob, you're on Vikings Vent Line, man. What's going on?
What's up, Bob?
Mackie, Judd, Declan. Late night, but a big night. And I must say that I've been drinking a little purple wine all night.
But love it.
To kick the night off, I have to finish it up with a little Crown Royal to celebrate the acquisition of Darrisaw.
Love it.
And the reason why is because of the PFF 95.6, you know, the fact that his center of gravity, his quick set, his tunnel making ability. Come on, Mackie, you gotta love that.
Yeah, Judd, give him the football.
Ooh. Oh yeah, yeah.
Predator. You know, and it's Kurt, a predator.
And Judd, to your point, you mentioned fear in the, you know, early part of the show. Kirk Cousins' fear factor with his pass protection with this new acquisition has gone tonight from an 8 fear to about a 3 or a 4 with a new left tackle.
Yep.
And I also want to make another point that you made, Judd.
Oh no, we may have lost Bob.
No, Bob is going to give me some
that Crown Royal, man. I've always said, anytime you pour Crown Royal, it can be a drastic mistake in your evening, and this is why I typically avoid the Crown. I respect the Crown Royal.
I feel like Bob has life experience.
To protect Kirk Cousins, to keep him healthy. And to allow the new defense, which has 7 new players out of 11 that didn't play last year, that will strengthen the entire team next year. And the new color purple, the analogy is that Mike Zimmer has turned the page on, you know, picking all these defensive guys in the first round and allowing his administration and to pick an offensive tackle to generate more scoring in an offensive stress league that, you know, you win by scoring points.
Yep.
So, yep. Hey,
cheers to you, Bob.
To the pick.
Cheers.
Here you go, Bob. Cheers.
Love you, man. I've got an empty bottle of water here. I'm slacking. I'm sorry. Fend off dehydration today. By the way, we I can't believe this came in so quickly, but Brian Baldinger has already done a full breakdown of Christian Darrisaw here. I've got the exclusive audio.
Sometimes you just got to try the quick jam. Bam. Just get on him. Get on him as quick as you can. Boom. Then get off him. And then get ready to dance. Shuffle, slide. Shuffle, slide. Watch this throw here to Cameron Brayton.
Yeah,
quick jam.
Shuffle, slide.
Judd and I are vaccinated now, and we're going to have our masks on. We're going to be in the studio tomorrow. We're going to do a little quick jam, and I'm just going to be sent back into the next room. I think that's what's going to happen.
Oh, I might stay home tomorrow. Don't
count on me. Oh, man. All right, love me some Bob in Pennsylvania. He's one of the longtime. Back when Ventline was just an old AM radio show, Bob was one of our favorites.
Bob was when he finally joined us on the new version of Ventline, nothing what I expected. I thought Bob would look older.
I thought he'd be more like portly. A little more portly.
Yeah. He is thin. He is lean.
Yeah, I don't know.
He doesn't really look old at all to me.
Yeah, kind of what I was expecting. I don't know, wasn't that surprised?
Really?
Wasn't that surprised? A guy like
that. He looks like an older version of you who's East Coast.
Yeah, and you are. And well, poor Declan. When you're that age, you ain't going to look
good. Hey, by the way, the Packers pick is in. And you've got an angry Aaron Rodgers. He wants out, and the Packers need – you got to get him some weapons. Got to get him some help, right?
God, they did.
They drafted cornerback Eric Stokes from Georgia.
Oh, God. Okay, let me be the first to say this.
I might pop a bottle.
Last year when they took Love, I said they're dysfunctional, they're a mess. And by the end of the year, I got all the notes from Packer fans, right? 13-3. Now what do you think? NFC Championship game. Now, I again will say this. Your franchise is a mess. Like this year, how do you take a cornerback? And I know that they probably need one, but what are you people doing?
Watch those lucky bastards have hit on Jordan Love, though. Like, if those guys have 15 years of another franchise quarterback,
do you realize
get one Super Bowl, but it'll still...
I don't mean to be macabre here, but do you realize if they hit on Love, I will die? I'll probably die with them having gone from Favre to Rodgers to Love.
Yeah, you will. It'll be 40 years of franchise
quarterback. And Favre will have been the quarterback starting when I was 22. Okay? I will go to the grave, or I don't know, or I'll be cremated.
You're going to football hell is where you're going.
Yeah. I'll be cremated. Yeah. But seriously, with the Packers having had essentially three quarterbacks.
Awesome.
Let's get to our next guest here, sure. Declan.
Yeah, let's go with another little guy, Coach Ben. Ben in Florida, what's up, buddy?
What's up, Ben? What's up, guys?
Ben, what's up?
I love the Christian. I love the Darso pick. It's outstanding, but I got a theory. I really do think the Vikings were interested in Justin Fields. And then the news about Aaron Rodgers came out. And then the front office, everybody in the Vikings in there saying, the team that we're trying to beat for the NFC North is going up in flames next year. Let's just stay the course. Let's just do what we normally do. Let's not go crazy here because they do need a corner, but again, like, if I'm Aaron Rodgers, I'm like, I'm not setting foot in Wisconsin ever again. I'm staying in California. I'm done with that organization. But overall, I love the draft pick. Really do.
Dude, Ben, we really appreciate it. Thanks for jumping on here. And let's dive into Ben's conspiracy theory here for a second before we get to our next guest.
I love
this. Is there a chance that, and because you never, like, you want to have open options as the draft plays out, that you had it in your mind, okay, if one of these quarterbacks falls, we're going to pounce on him. And then all of a sudden, Mark Schlereth comes out and says, hey, Broncos, Aaron Rodgers, it's a done deal, and they're just sort of working through final details. Do you look at your division and say, wow, okay, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time just went to the AFC. We now have the best quarterback in the division and what could be a top five defense, and we're about to get an offensive lineman if we want in the first round. Let's stay the course and see what happens. I hate that theory.
I think there's a possibility that definitely played a role. And here's the thing. So the Packers and Rodgers for a year basically put a salve on their relationship walls, right? Like it was the marriage. They went to counseling. It looked a little bad, but I mean, 13-3, NFC title game. I think now, to Ben's point, this thing's on fire. Like, it's done. He's not coming back. I think he won't play. I think he would prefer, with how rich he probably is and the opportunities inside and, more importantly, outside of football, to just not play. So are the Vikings – look, I mean, again, Phil, this dovetails into what I was talking about. The Vikings are very much, right or wrong, a year-to-year franchise, right?
Yep.
Like, they don't say – oh boy, we're embarking on a 3-year plan. It's going to be great, but the first 2 years are going to be tough, right? The Vikings say we're going to be good. And when the Packers are going up in flames, which Ben's right, they are, and the Bears are the Bears, and Detroit is Detroit, yeah, I think there's a very good chance that the Vikings said what we believe to be our philosophy right now makes more sense than ever. So Yeah, I like his theory. And look, I also think this. I think this is going to change the thinking a little bit of the entire thing. Because if you're convinced Rodgers is not coming back, and he might get traded to Denver, I don't know. But if you're convinced he is never going to play for the Packers ever again, and you're the Vikings, I think you need to perceive 2021 a little bit differently than you did when you woke up this morning.
Is there a chance? So the Broncos took what? They took Sertan at 9. They took a cornerback, I feel like.
Yep.
Or Hoyer. Right, they're Sertan at 9.
I got it right here. They took Sertan, and then Horn had gone 8 to Carolina.
Could a Packers-Broncos trade involve no picks in this year's draft? Like, is it possible that that trade would happen, designated June 1st, and it would involve next year's first-round pick and more from the Broncos? That both teams just took who they're going to take for this year and go forward that way?
Yeah, I mean he might – Phil, he might just not show up. Like, they might say, we can't trade you. We don't – you know, we're not going to get the value back for you. You're our guy. There's a hubris there with the franchise.
Yeah.
That could be like, we're the Packers, we're not trading you. And he's recalcitrant enough guy that he might say, okay, then I'm done.
If this holds, if Aaron Rodgers indeed gets traded to the Broncos, the Vikings are clear cut the favorites to win this division. It is theirs for the taking, just pending injuries and whatnot. I'm just looking to see if the first round is over here. It looks like the Chiefs are on the clock at 31. So we're almost done with the first round. By the way, thank you so much to everyone who's hanging out with us late at night here and who has we're almost to 14,000 subscribers on the Purple Daily YouTube channel.
Hell yeah.
Tonight. So if you're watching and you're consuming us for the first time, if you could click that subscribe button on the Purple Daily YouTube channel, then we will in turn give you daily Vikings entertainment. Daily shows 365 days a year in your YouTube feed. You can also find us in podcast form on Apple, Spotify, and scorenorth.com. We have a second YouTube channel. It's just ScoreNorthMN, and there's more Vikings discussions. There's all kinds of stuff, too, involving other of your favorite Minnesota sports teams, where you can find Mackie and Judd. That's our other daily show. So thanks to all the people who have discovered us for the first time tonight. Dex?
All right. Should we go to our next guy here? Let's go to Ryan. Ryan, what's up, buddy? Hey. You're on Vikings Event Line. How we doing, brother?
We're doing great. Man, I'm excited after seeing Darisaw.
We got a pup there, too?
Yeah.
Yeah, trust dog.
The dog is important.
Allie. There you go.
Aww. Allie?
Oh, Allie, who's a good girl. Such a good pupper.
Such a good dog.
Who's a good pupper.
Outside? Treat?
You would probably go.
You're like, yeah.
Oh,
so
man.
You're in on Darisaw. You're in on Darisaw.
Yeah, I mean, I was hoping for them to jump up. Actually, I was hoping that they were going to jump up to finally convince Atlanta to give us 4, but that didn't happen. That's all right. But to get that offensive tackle to block for Kirk, I think is huge because we know that he's going to be here probably for the next 2 years, and for better or for worse, we're stuck with him.
Yeah, if that's the thing, we can sit here and debate all day long how good is he and whether he's worth the money and whatnot. We all have our own takes on that. But if you're going to commit to him, commit to him. You know that he's a pocket passer. You know that he's really good when he has a clean pocket. So quit sticking him with one of the worst pass blocking offensive lines in the NFL. As Judd has said all along, let's see what he's got. In better conditions, and tonight was a step in that direction, Ryan.
Yep, exactly. And then we have the opportunity to move up to the second with what we got from trading up to 14, or trading back from 14. So, we can get like a Kellen Mond, to overtake Cousins when he leaves, when we're like, yeah, okay, you didn't want to sign and keep staying with us, we're going to go with a Kellen Mond now. And then, I was even saying, later on, there's some still good wide receivers on the board too. So the dream of three deep is still there.
Yep. There's some. I mean, you're gonna have to beat out Declan's guy Chad Beebe to make the roster.
Yeah, we got PC Johnson, Chad Beebe. I don't know what you're talking about.
For sure. But Trevon Grimes, I mean, like that that guy from I think is it Florida?
Yeah, there's also this is probably more of like a fifth or sixth round, but the Auburn kid who ran like a 4.22. Wouldn't it be kind of fun to just stick him out there as the third wide receiver and just run as fast as you can?
Just tell
him one-on-one coverage.
Then just leave Jefferson and Thielen underneath. Oh my gosh, it'd be so awesome to watch.
Yeah, Ryan, dude. Guard. Hey, thanks for coming on the show, man. And hopefully we'll see you again sometime once we fire Ventline up too. Every Sunday night, Declan hosts a chill version of Ventline too.
Yep,
so
Declan and I had hung out before.
Awesome, man. All right, Ryan.
See you, Ryan.
All right, let's keep rolling here.
Quickly, he brings up a really good point too, which is, and this is the thing that to me is important. If Darisaw's the guy, okay, you just drafted a left tackle who you're going to have contractual control of for 5 years. And it's going to be control where he is for his position, if he's as good as he's expected to be, dirt cheap. So that's not going to be a cap problem. And you're not going to be saying, can you go out and sign the next Riley Reiff? Or, oh my God, can you make a trade and then sign Orlando Brown Jr. long term? You have now potentially for 5 years, if not more, but for 5 years, you have signed a guy at an absolutely crucial position that you can control his contract, and it's not going to kill you cap-wise, which is why I go back to certain positions, quarterback, left tackle, cornerbacks. Like, the question is to me, who gets paid and what positions are the most important? And if you got this right tonight, you just took a, you just drafted a player who plays on offense one of the more important positions, and you're going to have control, and it's not going to be a salary cap concern. That's a pretty nice thing to have.
Yep. Yep. Amen. Couldn't have said it better. Let's see who's next here on Vikings Ventline.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How y'all doing?
Mark in Louisville, man. What's going on with you?
You know, watching the rest of this draft, pretty excited that we got Christian Darisaw, though. I mean, I was kind of, you know, I was when we traded back, I was like, oh, my goodness. Yeah, Elijah Barrett Tucker there. I was like, here we go. This is how it starts. But like I said, I had my eyes on Darisaw for a while. Hopefully, I'm hoping Rick, you know, use some of those third round picks and moves up to the second round and get another guard, or get maybe multiple second round picks and get a guard and a receiver. So, you know, looking at Kirk, I'm just like, all right, man, we're building around you. We're going to get you some help. Get it done.
Yep.
That's what I'm looking for.
Yep. I just pulled up, just because I'm a nerd, I just pulled up the PFF list of guards that are still available. Like, this Kendrick Green from Illinois is 68th on their board. I don't think Wyatt Davis went. He's more of a second round, third round grade. So there's Trey Smith from Tennessee. There's some guards to be had in the second and third round tomorrow. And I think that needs to be one of your first two picks out of the gate. Get someone that can compete for a starting job. And it might be a little unsettling for Kirk Cousins to have potentially two rookies starting on the left side of the offensive line. But, I mean, it can't be that much worse than what we saw with Dakota Dozier last year, who was one of the three worst offensive linemen in the NFL. So, yeah, man. Mark, what about drafting a quarterback? Are you down for any of these Kyle Trask, Kellen Mond guys?
Quarterback-wise, I watched a lot of Kellen Mond last year and Kyle Trask. I'm good with either, really. I mean, Kellen Mond, that man can play. That man can play.
Trask is a pocket guy, more big arm, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a pocket guy. I feel like he can make plays with his feet as well, just in, you know, if push comes to shove. So I'm excited. I'm just ready to see this organization get out of the gutter, man. So.
Well, Mark, dude, we appreciate you coming on the show and expressing your thoughts, and we'll see you again sometime. Good stuff from Mark in Louisville. Should we keep
Mark has an interesting point here quickly. Wide receiver, okay? The Vikings would have to fundamentally shift their beliefs about how offenses are run to truly go with a successful three deep. But doesn't it seem like it would be worth it? Like, to introduce, and that would be a little bit less tight end, I think. And I like Irv Smith a lot. So this is not saying that he shouldn't be important. And Conklin was good too. But boy, would I be curious if Clint Kubiak took what his dad did and tweaked it a little bit and drew a little bit more of an important role and therefore more snaps for a wide receiver three that could you could use with Thielen and Jefferson. I think that would be a good idea. I don't know they do it, but I think it would be a good idea.
That's why I was just intrigued with the Bateman pick. And then look, at 23, I get it. That's a bit of a reach, and good on Baltimore. That was a team I think everyone circled. It wasn't just us three. Everyone circled at Baltimore being one of those teams that could get Rashad Bateman. But that's why it's intriguing, is you can go three deep possibly here and still find interior guys later in the draft. I'll give Pulford Skull credit. I mean, they found their biggest hole on their starter's side right now. Like the left tackle right now, it's filled in Rashawn Slater, theoretically, right? Like it is filled. And now it's about finding interior guys that you can compete in training camp and make things easier on those guys going forward. So yeah, the three deep thing's exciting. It's always exciting, but you need Kirk to go all in here. And that's what their plan is. They're planning to go all in on Kirk and this 2021 team. If it's 10-7, it's 10-7. Hopefully it's something better than that. But I think that's probably their goal here.
All right. Who's next up, Dex?
Let's go to Josh. Josh, you're on Vikings Vent Line, dude. What's going on?
What's up, guys? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
All right, so I just want to start off by saying I love the Darisaw pick. Like, I would have been great taking him at 14. I think trading back, getting, what did we get, 66 and 83 third-round picks?
Yep, like, 66 and 86, I believe. Yep.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. I mean, I think that's great value. Just trading back, we won the trade. We got a starting left tackle. And then I think we can still trade up in the second round because we still have a lot of good edge rushers on the board. We got Ronnie Perkins, Jason Owe, Carlos Basham, and we got nose tackles and Levi and Luzariki and Nixon from Iowa. I mean, like, Zimmer should be stoked with this edge class still on the board.
Yeah. I'll give you another guy, the guy that smarter people than me have thrown out as a possible edge rushing candidate, including Tyler Fornes from Climbing the Pocket, Cameron Sample, who's 88th on PA. He's an edge rusher from Tulane and was actually graded as, I believe, the 8th out of 526 edge rushers in the country last year. And he's just a beast, but he didn't play against amazing competition, so he's sort of further down draft boards. I would say watch out for that guy for sure.
Oh, for sure. And even with our D-line coach, Patterson, like, he can develop anyone. He can develop any D-lineman to be just fantastic. So yep, I say away, we trade up to get him. Like, he's a boom or bust prospect, but if he booms, he's going to be insane. I think it's great value for him.
Right on. Josh, hey, thanks for bringing the insight, man. We appreciate it.
Appreciate you.
Thanks, Josh.
All right, Josh jumping in here on Vikings Vent Line. And okay, I don't know what's about to happen here, boys, but...
Do you got something here?
Is this Randy in Cottage Grove?
Wait, what?
Randy?
Randy
in Cottage Grove, you are on Vikings Vent Line.
How do you get this invite, man?
This is Randy.
Okay.
Randy, have you been enjoying some adult beverages today?
I did a good job on the mock, huh?
Well, you had Tevin Jenkins going to the Vikings, so you got the position right. And you said they were gonna trade, so you got that right.
Something wrong with my camera. Something might be wrong with my camera.
Are you sure something's not just maybe wrong with your blood alcohol level?
About to say,
Randy, when did you start drinking? And more importantly, sir, how many drinks have you had?
Randy,
you there?
Brother?
Randy?
Stay off the Christian. Swipe up on the Christian Mingle on the match here. I want some draft takes here, man.
Randy, it's Jeff. It's Jeff.
Is this Randy? This is Randy. Oh,
Randy, is that a silver bullet there you're rocking, buddy?
We
at my party, we ran out of Busch Light, which was in the kegerator, and now we're doing a case of this fight.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Wow.
Randy.
Oh, no, dude.
That was a perfectly good course.
Oh, brother.
Randy, give it CPR. But make sure the Coors is okay.
Well, no, it was a good night. I said we're going to go ahead and trade back. And what happened? Old Randy got it right again.
So what do you think about – you do a bunch of film study, presumably. I know you had Tevin Jenkins going to the Vikings, but what are your thoughts on Christian Garrison?
I didn't think Christian Garrison would make it to the middle of the second round, and he did. So that's a good pick. And
oh, Randy.
When Jenkins is a stud, and he'll go soon. He might go real soon. Who knows? But we got a steal of the draft at 23. Are you kidding me? With Christian Garrison? He's a stud.
Okay. Yeah. Christian Garrison is a franchise changer, don't you think, Randy?
Not to be confused with Garrison Keillor.
Here's the thing.
Like Wobegon?
If we took Garrison at 14, you wouldn't be bitching, right?
Would be, but...
I'm not bitching at all. Jeff's happy,
yeah.
Randy.
Okay. So we got him at 23. So we literally got Garrison and some extra ammo. And Rick, he's going to move around tomorrow. He's a trade guy. He likes to do it. He likes to swing those deals. So, yeah, I couldn't be happy. And the people want to talk about the Bears moving up. The Bears are fine. They don't. Oh. They suck. Then what's his face? Justin Field. He isn't proven anything. So I still don't like Kirk. I hope we get the future, the face of the future franchise tomorrow. And
are you in the woods? And
yeah, where are you, outside, Randy?
Like, are you stalking? Like, do we need to call somebody?
Did you give off a date?
I'm outside my buddy's garage. We have we had a party in the kegerator blue, so we had to run and get some Coors. And now we're good.
Hopefully you Ubered.
We're all vaccinated. We're good.
Well, I'm glad with that. Well, did they all eat the vaccination cards too, or was that just a you move?
It's a ceremonial thing, is what I.
Oh, told. Ceremonial. Got it. Yes,
the
of course.
Guys
of course.
On the radio the other day, but look, we're gonna nail a pick tomorrow. And by the way, I want partial credit for getting the trade back correct because I said we would trade back for an old line. I was right. It was a little wrong on who would drop.
Full credit. But, we will mail full credit to your house.
I'm not so sure we shouldn't stick with this shot just so we can alert the authorities when we realize he's stalking somebody.
I get it. Probably take a whiz pretty soon. So
okay. Actually, okay.
Okay. Okay. All right. Okay.
Randy.
Thanks, Randy. Right. Goodbye. Thanks, Randy.
You know what? I'm putting my cash on Randy eventually being a segment on Dateline. With Keith Morrison.
Oh, my God.
Randy had other ideas other than drafting.
Yes, the Vikings traded down 6 feet down. I'm Keith Morrison, Dateline NBC.
The pick would be very unfortunate. Yeah.
Well, glad Randy figuring out technology, can't return the wrong way. But
yeah.
I don't remember the trade back call. I didn't know he said that, though. I knew he had the Tevin Jenkins.
Yeah,
I didn't
sure.
know.
Oh, no, he told Phil. No, Phil cut him off, and then he said I was going to trade back
because
he didn't want to take Jenkins at 14. No, he was right about that.
Good for him.
He was also slightly more sober than he is right now.
Yeah, slightly, just slightly.
All right, who's next on
Vikings? How do you follow
line
that?
Here?
How do you follow Randy?
Travis, what's up, brother? You're on Vikings Vet Line. What's going on?
I can't follow what Randy just did.
Actually, you can't.
We don't want you to.
Well, slam about 19 Coors Lights.
Yeah.
No, Travis, we don't want
first.
You to.
Well, listen, I was mad at first, and then like I was listening to you guys most of the night, and like two people out of that were basically upset. I was upset when I saw the Bears end up, trading. Then listen, Phil, I get your point. You don't know about how, Justin Fields is going to, do. Obviously, I don't either, but I want to know who our quarterback is going to be next year. I don't want it to be Kirk Cousins. And the thing is that I don't want even Mike Zimmer or Rick Spielman to be a part of the organization anymore because I'm done. I'm done with it. I'm done with Rick Spielman trading back rather than trading up. I get he's done it every so often, but he trades back more than he trades up.
Oh, yeah. So Travis, so what is your – I feel like there's – Vikings fans are very split here in that if you're out on Kirk Cousins, then, like, the whole ethos of what they're doing makes sense.
I say this only because of the cap hit next.
for sure.
That's it. That's the reason. That's the only reason. He's played well. He's played fine. He's played well enough. That's because that's who he is. He's an average quarterback. And no, he's not had a good offensive line since he's been here. Dakota Dozier, Grant Bradbury, and yeah, I like the Darrisaw pick. But do you trust Rick Dennison to make him better? Even though he has allowed no sacks, so he's the first left tackle that we've taken, is Brian McKinney and all that. I don't trust Rick Dennison.
He couldn't even get
Dakota Dozier to play well.
Yeah, but the problem is this. The problem is not the coaching. The problem is the philosophy of how they're going to run their offense, which is to feature Dalvin Cook, and they purposely draft guys that can run block.
And I get that, but I'm done with it. I just want a left tackle that can block. I don't want Matt Khalil. I want a guy that can block. I want to see a quarterback stand in the pocket for 4 or 5 seconds rather than have to run around knowing the quarterback that we have can't do that.
Yeah, and you might get that with Christian Darrisaw now
for that. That's what I'm hoping for. It's just a matter of the fact, though, that I'm very it was just a blah pick. And obviously taking a tackle or a guard is going to be a blah pick. Taking a defensive tackle is going to be a blah pick. You want the quarterback, you want the receiver, you want a running back. You want something that's going to excite you. I just don't – in the trade to get three – now he's got three third-round picks. Now he's got it. Now, yeah, he's going to move back in the second.
Actually, I think he's up to four third-round picks and three fourth-round picks.
It's four third-round picks?
They've got four now.
I was wrong. I thought it was just three. So, obviously, he's going to move back in the second round. What is he going to move back in the second round for? I'm hoping for a quarterback. I'm hoping – and the reason why, again, is because I don't want Sean Mannion. I don't want any of the other guys that he ended up drafting in the seventh round, but Nate Stanley and then Jake Browning. I don't want those. I want someone that I can be intrigued in if something were to happen to Kirk Cousins, even though he's been able to play every game. But like you guys said earlier, he's going to get injured at some point. Mm-hmm. It's going to happen at some point because I don't understand how he hasn't got injured yet with how bad our offensive line has been. That's how great he's been. But it's just so frustrating that, now going into 8 years into the Mike Zimmer era and the offensive line was still terrible. And I gave him a pass for 2 years and it's still been terrible. Same thing goes to Rick Spielman. How do you have a general manager that's drafted two quarterbacks and still be with the team? I get the fact that they're good. They're good enough to be okay. They're good enough to be average. And then you got to hope for a win in the playoffs. You got to hope for him. You got to hope for Case Keenum to throw a Minneapolis Miracle play. You got to hope for a kick to go in. You can't go in thinking that we're going to win by 10 points in a playoff game. Because something's just going to happen. Because Judd, like you, I'm pissed. I'm sorry. I'm pissed. I'm so sick and tired of being average. I'm sick of being content. And I know it's already been called before, but Mike Zimmer, Rick Spielman, Kirk Cousins are gone. They're gone next year. Even if they go to the playoffs and they end up losing, gone. They want a playoff game, don't go to the NFC Championship game, gone.
All right.
Gone.
Hey, Travis, this is an amazing rant.
I'm ranting.
We appreciate it, dude. Thank you,
dude. That's what the show is all about.
You win the award for most passion tonight.
You know what? He's just done. And that's fair.
Holy cow.
But he wants complete change.
Listen, yeah. I think I hear everything he's saying. That the whole thing seems flawed in terms of we're going to run the ball and play defense and win a Super Bowl, and it's like that is so hard to do and win the necessary games to play home playoff games, and we'll see, but. They're also sort of shaping up. If Christian Darrisaw pans out, they're shaping up to have a damn good offense again, and their defense is going to take a step forward. So even though I've been skeptical, and I'm skeptical of Kirk in big spots, we'll let this thing play out. This is a good night for the Minnesota Vikings tonight. Let's get to our next guest here, Declan.
Let's go with my main man, Evan, here, who was on Vikings Bent Line with me last Sunday. Evan, what's up, man? How are you?
What's up, Evan?
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing, man?
Good,
man.
It's been a fun night.
Sure. Ooh, I like the jersey. That's Spud Webb?
Yeah, that's
Georgia, right?
Atlanta. Yeah, I'm from Atlanta, so I'm a Hawks fan. I got a Spud Classic up Hawk. There. I got a LeBron. I'm kind of redoing my man cave. I'm going to get my Peterson and my Thielen jersey up there, I promise.
Love
the spud. The spud's great though. That's a great look. Love that Hawks jersey.
Appreciate that. So my take on the first round, I liked it. Darisaw was somebody we probably would have gotten with our 14th pick anyway. When we traded out of it, most of the mock trades that we've seen, whenever we trade back and get into the 20s, we always took edge. And when we did that, we traded back to 23. I let out an expletive that probably woke my girlfriend up, but I was scared we were going to go edge. And I don't think it's as big of a need as other people think, because I'm actually pretty big on DJ Wonnum. I think I believe in Coach Pat way more than I believe in Rick Dennison. I think Pat can develop a mediocre lineman to be way better on defense than Dennison could ever do on offense. So I think it's better to, you know, get more talent on offense.
Yeah.
On the offensive line. And I think DJ Wonnum is actually has potential to be a quality starter. So I never thought edge was as much of a pressing need as O-line was. But I was glad we were able to trade back, still get somebody we were going to get with the 14th pick. And now in the second round, I would love to get a guard, maybe Kendrick Green. I know, Mackie, you mentioned him. I like Wyatt Davis. Creed Humphrey is another good guy. And I would like Kellen Mond, but I think that's the only one. I'm not a big trash guy. To me, he's kind of what you don't get out of Kirk Cousins. So you're kind of stepping into the same shoes there. And Davis Mills, I don't know too much about Davis Mills. I'd be honest. I can't give an honest opinion about
him. He didn't play a lot either. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. So that's kind of my take on the first two rounds.
Love it, man. Yeah, I think there's a lot to be positive about here. Evan, thanks for coming on, and we'll get you on Ventline again sometime soon. Once you finish that man cave, get some purple on those walls.
Those old school Hawks jerseys are great.
Oh, they're great, man.
We're 30 subscribers away from 14,000 on our Purple Daily YouTube page.
I feel so like
thank you to everyone. And by the way, if you haven't, please click the subscribe button so we can give you daily Vikings entertainment on there. And you can subscribe to our podcast feeds to Purple Daily, Apple, Spotify, ScoreNorth.com.
Shout out to Vikings fans, because I feel like this morning we were like 200 to 300 away from 14,000.
We legitimately
got maybe our biggest subscriber day. So thank you. That's awesome that you guys are hanging out with us. Appreciate
Big
you guys.
Time. Yeah, we're kind of the I don't know, man. We're trying a lot of new things here. We are old radio dogs doing new digital tricks here, and we're having fun on Purple Daily and Mackie and Judd every single day. And you can spread the word about the show by telling friends, hey, these knuckleheads are talking Vikings and bringing fans into their show on a regular basis. So be part of the community. We got a couple more left here for sure on Vikings Vent Line as we react to the first round.
Let's go to Jason. Jason, you're on Vikings Vent Line, man. What's going on?
What's up, Jason?
Hey, guys. First of all, I got to show you my golf simulator in the background.
Oh, no way.
Oh, dude.
Let's hit it. Me and Phil are all about this. What do you got?
Oh, my God.
You want some lessons, you just let me know. I'm not too far away in South Dakota.
Okay.
Here for it, for sure.
First of all, love the first round. Trade back, get 2 third rounds for the tackle. Great. I want to talk second round a little bit. Three receivers, 2-2 Atwell. Perfect third receiver to complement the other two. I do question having a rookie left tackle and a rookie left guard. Scares me a little bit. Any other guys you have out there for tomorrow that you love?
Okay, is there a chance that they would move Ezra Cleveland to left guard, Judd? Just because he has a year of experience under his belt, and then you would avoid two rookies on the left side?
They certainly could, because he played left tackle in college, so he was trained on the left side of the line. So it would be plausible to move him to left guard and then fill in at right guard. But the thing about the guard was, and I mean, this is what scares you, and this is where it also shouldn't be that tough to find a competent one. I can't explain enough how bad Dakota Dozier was.
For sure.
Like he has left an indelible mark in our brains about, and I'm sure he's a nice guy, so this is not a personal attack, but about the incompetence that was brought at left guard. Because, I mean, the amazing thing was this. Riley Reiff had a good year. Like, he played well. Dakota Dozier was in so far over his head. It was TJ Clemmings-like. So I'm not that concerned about having on the left side, side-by-side rookies. You just want a guard that knows what he's doing. And if Dakota Dozier's like on your roster and he's an emergency backup, that's one thing. But you started him for all 16 games.
Yeah.
Think about that for 1 second. And I mean, the Vikings fan base is a fan base that embraced, and rightfully so, Joe Berger, who wasn't any great shakes, but you know what he was? Competent. Like, yeah, that's all you're looking for. And I don't care if it's a veteran. I don't care if it's a youngster. You're looking for competency. And unfortunately, we right now are just scarred by the fact that we didn't see that at left guard last season.
I saw one of the comments just popping through on YouTube here asking, could they move up? Because I don't – Dylan Raddins from NDSU, who's – he's a tackle but could project as a guard. You'd probably have to move up pretty high into the second round to get him, but maybe not. But you got the ammo to do it. Could you go get a blue chip talent like him and move him to guard? That's something to watch. And then I would say another guy to watch, and I've had him in a few of my own nerdy mock draft simulations, guard Kendrick Green from Illinois as an option. But I don't know, like starting another rookie on the left side is a little dicey. So something to consider for sure, Jason.
That was my only concern, is having two rookies on the left side.
Yep.
But I Jason, do like the idea of maybe moving Cleveland. Over to left guard.
Yep. Yeah, Ezra Cleveland, you know, 1 year under his belt. We always love a golf simulator, and we appreciate the Vikings takes from South Dakota. Yeah.
Jamie Newman, backup quarterback.
Okay. Okay. Georgia kid, right?
Yep.
Yep.
I like it.
Seen him pop up here and there. Jason, thanks for coming on.
Thanks.
Let's get to Dylan here. He's been hanging out in the green room for quite some time.
Dylan.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, man. And from Superior, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, dude. What's going on?
I'm a Twin Cities transplant up here in the Northland. I don't know why I like it better up here. So, yeah, no, I think Evan hit it on the head. I don't know why nobody's giving DJ Wonnum any love. I mean, he's been absolutely freaking out this offseason trying to get better. I think he's plugging it right end. Danielle comes back off the neck on left end. I don't want to see a defensive end picked in the first three rounds by the Vikes. I don't. I want five offensive linemen if possible. When training camp comes, I want it to be the best five players out there protecting Kirk, opening lanes for Dalvin. Weapon wise, there's a kid out of Auburn, Schwartz, I think is his last name.
He 4240. Yep.
Exactly. He could be gotten like the fifth round. We've got two fifths. We've got fourths. I'd love to see. If they don't go the five offensive lineman route, I'd like to see him take at least three of the thirds, get up into the second twice. You got Wyatt Davis out of Ohio State who can play right guard if his knee's okay. There's just too many options not to rebuild the offensive line. And to everybody else's point about two rookies on the left side, I mean – you painted yourself into that position by not addressing it with free agents, with trades, with everything else. I mean, it's kind of the bed you've made. Now you got to go lay in it, you know?
Yep. Yep. No, it's all.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's unfortunate that they keep putting themselves in this position, but maybe Christian Darrisaw is a step in solving it. And by the way, by just shoring up some of the, you know, we rag on Garrett Bradbury, but having the worst left guard in the NFL doesn't help him too. So
and having a subpar right guard for most of the season doesn't help him either. He's stuck on an island against, you know, 350 pound dudes who are just looking to throw him around. So, I mean, you know, with no guards at all. I mean, Cleveland did okay, but I mean, first year, new position, wrong side of the line. I mean, what do you expect out of the kid, right? So, I mean, as far as the quarterback takes that we've been talking about, Kellen Mond is the only option that would be okay with me. Trask is an absolute statue, and Davis Mills is too unknown. I think he's got, what, like 14 starts for Stanford? I think that's
if
it.
That, so,
like,
yeah. It's not
yeah,
that
yeah. No, and I mean, it's so fun to think about this, but also at the same time, you've got to take a combination of Judd's point of view about what I think they'll do versus what they're actually probably going to do.
Yeah.
And then also Mackey's point, quality over quantity. I'm tired. I'm like the last guy. I'm tired of trade downs. Let's go get good, lots of good players, and let's fill this thing up and let's make a run.
Yeah. And trade up now too. Second round trade up.
Yes. Yes.
Like that's what I want. If you do what they did tonight in the first round, that's actually okay. But yeah. I think where it gets obnoxious, and I think where fans rebel rightfully so, is tomorrow or Saturday. If you start to see, we'll give you a 2-4, you know, we'll trade you this for your 7th round picks. And I think that's where fans get sick and tired. And yes. I agree there. So what I would really like to see starting tomorrow, take some of that third round, those 4 third-round picks, trade a couple of those, get into the 2nd round. And that's where there's some really good quality that still can be found there.
Well, and one thing that hasn't really been mentioned yet is that of the 3 third-round picks that they have, of the 4 that they have, 3 of them are in the top half of the 3rd round. Exactly. So, I mean, one of those in a 4th round, like, you know, what is it? Like, they have the 2nd pick in the 3rd round, which is, what, 66, right? So they could take that in a 4th, go up to anywhere in the 2nd, do whatever you want there. Another 3rd, maybe a 5th to trade into the last half of the 2nd, maybe the last pick of the 2nd, you know, talk to Tampa Bay about giving it up. Again, it's the bed has been made where we have to talk about starting rookies, where we need plug and play guys. It's gotten to an ugly point where, you know, God loves Zimmer. I mean, he has an every other year of just epic awesomeness. And then it's every other year is a turd bowl of 500, you know, I mean, God bless him. I mean, he's great on the defensive side, but somebody's got to think about the trenches. I mean, Anthony Herrera was the last guard we had for multiple seasons that was average or better.
Yep,
like
true.
Fusco had a flash in the pan year. Charlie Johnson got moved in from left tackle. Willie Beavers, to your guys' credit, TJ Clemmings, God help us with that one. Nick Easton was okay, but if that friggin' foot injury or knee injury that dang near killed him at the end of the season hadn't happened, I mean, I don't think we'd be in as bad a shape at guard as we have been. But again, we're talking about flash in the pan of average. We're not talking about We're not talking about the old Hutchinsons, and we're not talking about the Orlando Browns and the Kelechi Osemele's who signed big free agent deals. We're not talking about those guys. We're talking about freaking Dakota Dozier. I mean, it sucks. So I want good offensive linemen. We have weapons. I mean, no one denies, aside from our 3rd wide receiver, which should should really be Irv. And then Gronklin coming off as the inline tight end, which he's not. I mean, he's a move guy, but I mean, it should be the third receivers, I guess, our weakest point on the offensive line that isn't a line position. So if we shore up the line, there's no reason we're not top 8 in offense. And then, you know, to a couple of shows ago, you alluded to a point about an elite offense and a good, not great defense will get you there. Well, let's go with that. Let's try that. We tried elite defense and it got us close. Let's try it the other way now.
Yep. Great stuff. Dylan from Superior closing it out here.
Thank you guys. Hey, I got a puppy here for you too, if you guys want to see her.
Sure. Yeah, we love that.
Let's see.
Yeah, show us.
We got her. That's Echo right there. That's my goober. Yeah. She's a big silly goofball.
Echo's like, Dad, shut up. I want to go to bed. We're talking about the Vikings' interior offensive line.
He's like, she's like, this Spielman stuff, I don't care about this.
Well, I mean, don't get me wrong. Darisaw's an excellent pick. I'm stoked about Darisaw, but more quantity of quality guys. That's what we need. Yeah.
Dylan, we'll do it again sometime soon. We'll get you on.
Yes, sir.
All right, that's Dylan from Superior. Putting a wrap on Vikings vent line. And by the way, Doogie, just we're texting with Doogie here. And he feels like the biggest story of the night is that they wanted Justin Fields. That they are fans of Fields. They were in discussions kicking the tires to move up. But the Lions, you know, the Lions wanted a lot at 7. And
could you have gone to was it the Dallas pick? Could you have gotten that?
Could have. I mean, the Bears went up and got it at 11 with the Giants.
I think they had an interest in Fields and Lance, and I'd be curious to know how close they thought those two were. And if Lance had been the one to fall and Fields had gone to San Francisco at 3, I wonder if they would have been more aggressive in trying to get up to get him.
Yeah. It's an interesting thought to see what would have happened if they would have gone with Fields. So, well, listen, boys, we've been at this for about 5 hours tonight, and it's been a blast just such a fun day. Speculation. And then tomorrow, we're going to be live again. We'll probably jump in sometime during the second round and carry you through, because the Vikings could trade up at any point.
Yeah.
And we'll react, and we'll probably turn it into event line again tomorrow night. But
thanks for watching, everybody.
Declan, hey, professional producer, your microphone's off right now again.
When Stone Cold clicks that glass open again, we'll be ready to jump in tomorrow is what I'm trying to do.
Love it. Love it. All right, boys. That's
thanks,
a wrap,
everybody,
for this live Vikings draft night special. Thanks to everyone who mashed that subscribe button on the Purple Daily YouTube channel. And don't forget, you can check us out anywhere you find podcasts as well. ScoreNorth.com and the ScoreNorth app for everything we do at ScoreNorth. Purple Daily, Mackie and Judd, The Scoop with Doogie, Royce Unchained, and other stuff. Check it out. We are your home for daily Vikings entertainment. And we'll see you guys tomorrow on Purple Daily.